It's a salmon-eat-salmon world out there. Sort of. New research indicates that pink salmon could be bad news for sockeye. The findings come from Simon Fraser University Professor of Ecology, Brendan Connors, and I've reached Brendan Connors by phone in Vancouver. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why are too many pinks potentially a problem for sockeye?
Well, pink salmon and sockeye salmon are both kind of opportunistic predators that eat similar things in offshore waters, including zooplankton, squid, and small fish. And as pink salmon increase in abundance, because they're eating the same food as sockeye salmon, they can compete for that food and reduce it and indirectly impact these sockeye salmon by consuming all of their food.
So pinks and sockeye have intermingled for some time now. Why is this a problem that you're thinking about currently?
Well, the reason for that is because pink salmon have increased dramatically in abundance over the past 50 years. We think that this is primarily a response to favorable ocean conditions, particularly in the northern part of their range, but also because increasingly we're putting more and more pink salmon into the ocean via hatchery production. Now, at the same time, what researchers have shown is that sockeye salmon from southern Alaska right through British Columbia and into Washington State have shown similar declines in their survival in recent decades. And that's led researchers to hypothesize that perhaps some sort of mechanism that's operating at a broad multi-regional scale where all these populations co-mingle and co-occur, like potentially competition for food with other salmon like pink salmon, might be responsible.
So when you're trying to research this, give me a picture here. In the water, what is the scale of pink versus sockeye?
Well, that's a really good question. So pink salmon, over the past decade or so, have been about 5 times more abundant than sockeye. And so for, say, 2009, which was a particularly abundant pink salmon year, there's about 690 million pink salmon returning to spawn across their range from the Far East and Russia right through North America.
And what sort of food are they competing for?
Well, these guys are feeding on zooplankton, squid, and small fish, particularly later on in marine life when they're out in the open ocean together.
And how can you be sure that because of those high numbers of pinks, that it's actually having an adverse effect on sockeye?
Well, that's a great question. And it's always a challenge when you're looking at relationships between trends in one population or one variable and another. And so what's been powerful about the work that we just recently published is that we looked at multiple lines of evidence across many different sockeye salmon populations. So we looked at these 36 different populations that have this shared declining trend in survival. But we didn't just look at the survival of these sockeye in each of those populations. We also looked at their growth and their age at maturity. And the reason we wanted to look at those additional lines of evidence is because we're hypothesizing that it's competition for food, you would expect that in years when there are many pink salmon, sockeye salmon would be smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And because the age at which you mature is related to your growth rate, we would expect that if you're growing more slowly, you would spend more time at sea. And then the last interesting part to this is that because pink salmon have this really strong odd year, even year pattern kind of across the North Pacific, you end up with this natural almost experiment from one year to another. And what we see is this consistent signature of competition across those three different lines of evidence and across this kind of broad suite of populations, which provides more compelling evidence for the hypothesis that competition may be driving these types of patterns.
And interestingly, I suppose that these findings would have a different resonance for different people. For a lot, they would think a salmon is a salmon is a salmon. Why should we care?
Well, it really depends, right? I mean, a salmon is a salmon is a salmon, but there are different roles that different salmon can play for the communities, both the commercial and aboriginal communities that depend upon these fish, as well as the ecosystems that depend upon them. And so, as you know, sockeye salmon are probably one of the most prized commercial salmon fish, and so that's one of the reasons why there may be increased concern about impacts on them relative to other species.
So if the sockeye is more prized, perhaps this goes beyond the parameters of your research, but why are there being so many pinks produced or sent out from hatcheries? Why isn't there more of a focus on the sockeye?
Well, that's a great question. Because sockeye salmon, because pink salmon enter the marine environment right after they hatch, hatchery production or ocean ranching is much more feasible for pink salmon in terms of generating their production. And so what we have is, up to 1.5 billion hatchery pink salmon that are released into the ocean each year. At least they have been over about the past decade, with a large majority of those being released in Alaska in the Prince William Sound and Kodiak region. And that ends up making up about 25% of the total number of adult pink salmon that return across North America in a given year.
I'm speaking to SFU ocean ecologist Brendan Connors about his new research that suggests too many pinks could be hurting sockeye stocks on the coast. Professor Connors, where do you think this research needs to head next?
Well, I think it needs to go two directions. But before I get there, I do just need to correct that I'm not a professor at Simon Fraser University. I'm an adjunct professor there, but also I work with a firm called ESSA Technologies. But I think the two directions that this needs to head are, first, we need to understand why some sockeye salmon populations, particularly those far to the north, like up in Alaska and Bristol Bay, don't appear to be responding to competition with pink salmon the same way. We think that's probably occurring because they're differentially responding to a warming ocean environment. So the ocean's getting better for them up north, whereas down to the south, a warming ocean isn't good for sockeye salmon. And when you couple that with competition, that can be, an aggravating stressor. But the other direction that we think this needs to go, which is less on a research side and more on a policy side, is really remembering and thinking about the fact that because salmon don't respect international borders, they migrate thousands of kilometers at sea, factors that influence the abundance of salmon in one nation, like hatcheries, can have consequences for the survival and abundance of salmon in another nation, right? And so what this really emphasizes is the need for dialogue among salmon nations across the North Pacific about cooperative approaches to managing a finite pool of resources at that ocean basin scale. So what happens in one nation may affect what happens in another. And so there needs, and people have long called for this, but I think this work highlights the additional need and urgency for that type of dialogue.
Right, and we will be talking about that dialogue, mind you, with a different stock to do with the herring fishery here on the coast. Brendan Connors, thanks for this.
Absolutely, my pleasure.